Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Pete Sweeney just sent me a text, and his girlfriend said that she is very thrilled about going to Texas Roadhouse. Rob then showed me the screenshot, and his lady said the same thing.
I think you're overhyping the Red Lobster love. You love it like that. People don't love it like that.
I maybe was wrong. I'm not ready to fully admit I was wrong, but I'm saying maybe, possibly, I was wrong. I mean, I still love Red Lobster, but I'm very surprised that if given the two options, you wouldn't go get the Cheddar Bay biscuits, because the Cheddar Bay biscuits are immaculate. I might go to Red Lobster later today. Is there one around here? Is there still that one over there on Metcalf? You know the one I'm talking about?
That one
over
still
by
exists,
Micro
yeah.
Center? Is that one still over there?
Right there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's my local Red Lobster.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go to that one.
It's probably Shrimp Fest. It's always Shrimp Fest.
Oh, Shrimp Fest is year round. Shrimp Fest is year round. Absolutely year round. So today when I was getting ready for the show, Rob came in and I asked Rob a question. I was like, Rob, who do you think is the most underrated player on the Chiefs? And Rob looked at me and said, this is obvious. And I was like, hold on. Don't tell me. I don't want to know what you think is the obvious answer to this question. And we can just go from there. So, Rob, you told me this is obvious. All right. Well, who do you think is the most underrated member on the Kansas City Chiefs?
Joe Tooney. Joe Tooney is the best player at his position, and no one talks about him like that. He's the best player at his position in the National Football League. He doesn't get as much love as Creed Humphrey in the NFL. He doesn't get as much love as Trey Smith. He doesn't get the love he nearly deserves. Joe Tooney is a technician who plays every game, no problem, no fuss, great football. He just plays a position we don't appreciate on the line. He plays left guard. It's sad. We don't appreciate left guard. It's a harsh reality. But he plays left guard and doesn't get the appreciation he deserves. But Joe Tooney is easily, undoubtedly, the most underappreciated Chief on the roster. The only other players that are the best in their position in the National Football League are Kelce and Mahomes. And we dollop praise on them like you wouldn't believe. Joe Tooney never gets any conversation. Meanwhile, he just goes out there, workmanlike, and dominates the league.
This would be my question to you. Can you be underrated and underappreciated while also being the highest paid player at your position? Like, we're not talking about Joe Tooney was some undrafted, fought his way onto the roster, making plays kind of individual. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's the biggest free agent acquisition that they've made on the offensive side of the ball in the Patrick Mahomes era. When you factor in his contract, now maybe Juwan Taylor, when you look at the money, it's a little bit different. But you look at guaranteed money, you look at overall length of the contract. I don't know if I would say that just given the fact of I think he's received his flowers as one of the better interior offensive linemen in the National Football League and the contract. This is the name I'm going to throw out there and see what you think. I think it's Shaylen Watson. I think they have a legitimate, strong third corner on their team. So you got Trent McDuffie, first round pick. You got L'Jarius Sneed, who you and I agree has turned into a guy that we both think is going to get $13, $14, $15 million next season. Whether it's by the Chiefs or somebody else, L'Jarius Sneed is going to get paid. I could see Jalen Watson by the time that it's time for him to negotiate his contract. He's a guy that the Chiefs let go. But we look up and say, wow, a team gave Jalen Watson $30 million? A team invested that heavily in him? I'm going to go with Jalen Watson as the most underrated guy on the team. Like, I think Nick Bolton gets his flowers. Like, I think Nick Bolton, A, because of the kind of player he is, B, where he went to school. You have like a Nick Bolton hive. He has like a dedicated core group of fans that love Nick Bolton. I think there are a lot of people like you that look at what Nick Bolton can't do, and it's like this big civil war fighting of two very different thought processes when it comes to Nick Bolton. I made the point about Joe Tooney. I don't know if you can be underrated, underappreciated if you are the second highest paid player on the team. Like, I think we all understand what Joe Tooney is. I think the answer is Jalen Watson. That's my answer.
Text line throws out a good name, one I hadn't considered. What about Tommy Townsend? Tommy Townsend was all pro this year as a punter. Tommy Townsend was really, really good. Does anyone talk about the punter ever? We talk about Dustin Colquitt like we had discovered plutonium in Kansas City. Oh, they have Colquitt. What an amazing punter. Townsend has been better, and not a soul talks about him.
I don't know if he's been better. I don't know if he's been better.
I mean, he made all pro.
No, Colquitt you're right.
made all pro.
Yeah, you're right.
And I guess we had Holdergate, which people made fun of Townsend, but Townsend was still all pro.
That was a big deal. That was a nasty time from Dustin Colquitt. He was hating. He was going on an I hate Tommy Townsend tour during the season last year. I got to see Tommy Townsend do it for a little bit longer before I put him in the Dustin Colquitt category. But you're right. Last year, first team all pro, made the Pro Bowl last year. He was on the all rookie team. Like, he has been fantastic since entering the National Football League. Yeah, I'm with you. Can you overrate the punter, though? Like, I'm with you on underrated. Can you overrate the punter? Like, if I was like, man, the Chiefs are really good at punter. And somebody like, nah, he ain't that good. I don't know if you can underrate. I don't know if you can overrate him.
That's probably fair. He never falls into the overrated category, but that's the fact that we never speak of him is why he's underrated. Let me give you a question about Jalen Watson, though. Is Jalen Watson the best corner that they got in that draft? Because
I think so.
You think Jalen Watson's better than McDuffie and Williams?
Oh, okay. I was more counting it of the mid-round picks. I wasn't thinking about McDuffie.
No,
McDuffie's a better corner than Jalen Watson. I was thinking about it with those three mid-round picks they got, and they rolled the dice on all of them. I think Watson's the best one out of them. Yeah, I do.
If you aren't the best of your position, if you are at best the third corner on the Chiefs, because you would have Sneed better, are you really underappreciated or are you properly appreciated? Man, he's a great nickel corner. We don't really love the nickel corner like that because we don't need to love the nickel corner like that. To your same point about punter, we don't speak about punters being overrated. We never say, boy, the Chiefs' nickel corner is overrated. I think that your Jalen Watson thing falls in the same category as Tommy Townsend a little bit. It's hard to overrate a third corner.
Someone on the text line says, I think the answer is Willie Gay. Do you think Willie Gay Jr. is underrated, overrated, or properly rated? Because I think he's overrated.
Overrated. I think we talked about it in the past. He has the physical attributes that flash and pop, but to date, it's been a lot of sizzle and not a lot of steak. Like, I might have my complaints with Nick Bolton, and me and the text line will fight about Nick Bolton forever, and that's just life. But Nick Bolton has been objectively better than Willie Gay Jr. But I don't think Nick Bolton is as physically gifted as Willie Gay Jr., but Bolton's been objectively better. I think Gay is overrated.
Do you ever think about how Nick Bolton almost won Super Bowl MVP?
No, because it never happened.
You don't think about that?
He never at once came close winning Super Bowl MVP.
You don't think about if not for a controversial call that Nick Bolton would have scored a touchdown and would have won Super Bowl MVP?
Don't think about that. That call was not controversial. It was the most straightforward incomplete pass I've ever seen in a game, and people are acting like it was the tuck rule. By the way,
actually might be like the tuck rule. You know my stance on this all the time. The NFL has created these very weird times where nothing negative can happen for the offensive player. Like, literally nothing negative can happen. Like, it's this weird gray area in which you can't fumble the football. You can't hit them during this time. I actually think that is, like, if we're talking like what my opinion is, I actually think that is a fumble touchdown. Based on how they consistently call it, it's not. I just disagree with the rule.
That's fair. You can disagree with the rule, but based on how the rule is, that is an incomplete pass every time. That's fair, just like the rule. And maybe that's why it's like the tuck rule, but they legislated that call to the rule, and the rule is incomplete
based
pass.
Based on how they call the rule, I do think that it was called very fairly once they kept showing it. I just disagree with the rule, and I think the rule, like I said, I think it creates this like very weird gray area where, hold on, like if he gets tackled right there and falls to the ground, we all will agree that that's a catch. Then how is it not, if he got hit right there and then drops it, the rules are very weird to me at times. Someone said, what about Noah Gray? I'd actually listen on Noah Gray. I'd listen on Noah Gray. Like, I think Noah Gray on another team could be a 500, 600-yard tight end on another team. I don't think you'll get the usage on this team for obvious reasons, but if Noah Gray got picked up by the Tennessee Titans and he had a year in which he had 41 catches for 572 yards and 3 touchdowns, I would not be surprised in the least bit. He actually is not a bad answer for most underrated Chief.
He's a good answer, too, because we know Kansas City loves Jody Fortson like no other fan base loves their third tight end on earth. Noah Gray's better than Jody Fortson. That's just a fact of life. But this August, when it's training camp season and people are like, hey, are you guys sleeping on Jody Fortson again? No one, zero people are going to bring up Noah Gray, even though Noah Gray is better than Jody Fortson.
I actually think people have moved on from Jody Fortson. I could be wrong. I feel like people have finally moved on.
Do you think that because Justin Ross has sucked the oxygen out of the room?
Yeah, I think that's it too. Yeah, I think that's it. And I mean, it's kind of one of those, like, we've done this now 2 years in a row and you've gotten 4 touchdowns and 19 yards out of it. Like, and I also think that Noah Gray, like, you guys maybe wanted Jody Fortson to be the number 2 tight end. They have the number 2 tight end. The number 2 tight end on the team is Noah Gray. And I think Blake Bell's going to be their fullback slash hybrid kind of player. And Jody Fortson will kind of get in how he fit in. Jody Fortson will get thrown the ball less than 15 times this year. I think Noah Gray is actually proven to be a decent number 2 option. And again, I think if he joined another team, I think we look up and say, huh, he's a fine tight end. He's not one of the elite tight ends in the league, but you can definitely live if Noah Gray is your number 1 tight end on most teams in the National Football League. One of my favorite things as a kid is coming to a close. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison and friend of the show, Andy Reid.
I can't believe you're waiting that long for that question.
Brought to you by the De Pasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. Weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Drive with Carrington wherever you are.
Rob, I finally got my Netflix email. I was hoping to stave off elimination, but I finally got my email. An update on sharing between households. Hi, Carrington. Your Netflix account is for you and for the people you live with in your household. And then they gave me all the tools to pay for extra people to use the stream. I'm not doing that. I've given Netflix all the amount of money I'm giving them. I'm not living with another pay increase or any of that. Netflix has pushed me to the limit, Rob. They've pushed me to the limit.
You should respond to the email. Hey, Netflix, do you guys know Hulu is better? Do you guys know HBO Max is spanking you around the block? I'll be continuing to pay for whoever I want. Suck it.
I don't think I'm going to tell Netflix that. That seems kind of extreme, but I'm just not going to reply to their email. You know, I'm just going to keep using Netflix the way I've been using Netflix. And then if something happens, well, then Netflix and I had a good run. I'll just watch whatever they're on another platform. I'll be fine without Love is Blind for a while. I'll figure out a way to circumvent it. So I don't know why this news hit me and it kind of saddened me. But the head of WWE, because it's not Vince McMahon anymore, because he was out here being Mr. Nasty Man himself. They're talking about moving Monday Night Raw to another night. It couldn't be Monday Night Raw anymore. Wednesday night doesn't have the same feel Tuesday night. Now, some of you are around my age. Maybe you're a little bit older, a little bit younger than me. There was a time in my life where you couldn't come to school on Tuesday if you didn't watch Monday Night Raw. You had to be up on everything that was happening. We probably shouldn't have been watching at that point in our life, but you couldn't walk into class the next day. If somebody asked you what happened with Stone Cold or Shawn Michaels or The Rock, and you had absolutely no clue what was going on, Rob, this saddens me that they're even entertaining the possibility of moving Monday. What's wrong with Monday nights? Monday nights is a great night. You can't tell me it's Monday Night Football. You've been on Monday nights for 33 years. Monday Night Football's always been around. It's always been a problem. They can't do this. They're really trying to destroy the things that I used to love back in the day. I don't even watch it anymore, so I really don't care, but it's really the principle of you can't move Monday Night Raw from Monday night. That was a staple to me. Sixth grade Carrington Harrison was into like four things. I was super into Pokemon at that time. I mean, I had the Game Boy Color. Rob, you had the little cord that you could like connect your Game Boy with somebody else's so you could trade if you wanted to or fight your Pokemon against their Pokemon. Oh my goodness, what a time. I was really into yo-yos at this time too. Yomega, they had this one, it was called the Brain, I believe, that when you spun the yo-yo, it would automatically come back up at one time. Oh my goodness. I was really into wrestling at that time too. Big fan of wrestling during that time. They can't be messing with my childhood staples. Keep Monday Night Raw where it is. Keep it on USA on Mondays.
Why are they thinking about moving it? What's the end game here? Is the NFL going to kill off another thing we love? Because I can't imagine up against Monday Night Football, it would do very well. Why are they moving Monday Night Raw? I mean, I was never the biggest wrestling person, but it was a thing I knew existed. What's the end game here? They've moved SmackDown around to like every night available. No one even knows who's on it, what's happening.
I think SmackDown's on Friday now. I could be wrong, but I think that SmackDown comes on Fridays on Fox because I've seen it before and I've seen Pat McAfee.
I'm going to say I think it's that, but I don't know what they're – I mean, are they trying to get out of Monday for the NFL? I have no idea why they want out of Mondays. It makes no sense to me. It seems like the perfect night to have wrestling.
Text line 913-586-7610. C-Dot, you realize that wrestling is fake, right? Well, it's still real to me, damn it. I would just like to point that out. And what do we watch that's real other than sports? Like, yeah, I mean, if you watch wrestling, that's perfectly fine. I mean, I think you know what it is at this point, but I mean, almost everything we watch is fake. Right? I mean, Fast and the Furious, we know that Vin Diesel's not doing that, right? Like, we know that, right? So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you, but, I mean, Game of Thrones is just a world that somebody created. It didn't happen.
Do people actually think wrestling is real? I thought everyone knew it was
It's still real to me, okay? I'm trying to tell you that.
My bad. That's all me.
Still real to me. I don't know. Yes, it's a very real thing. Are you trying to tell me that it's not real?
I'm just trying to make sure me and you are on the same page.
I don't know what's going on.
You threw me
there.
Off a little bit back there.
Be hating the way that you hating right now on it. There's no reason to be hating the way that you are. Speaking of hating, Bart Scott was on First Take earlier today. I mean, that's a show where you get paid a lot of money to be a professional hater. Bart Scott was on First Take earlier today, and he declared that the Bills window is officially closed.
If you listen to the general manager, he's kind of letting you know that as well in the offseason when he said it's kind of hard to go out and, you know, get pieces and, you know, when you're paying the quarterback so much, right? I think that was a direct shot at Josh Allen. You know, and Josh Allen finds himself in a crazy position because they're trying to change the way he plays. And, you know, that's always tough when you try and change the way somebody plays naturally because they get stuck in an identity crisis. Too often they depend on Josh Allen to be the best passer and also the best part of their run game, and that has to change. And you look at what's happening now with Diggs. In 2024, I believe his salary cap number is $27 million. We understand that when they paid Von Miller $160 million, that was a funny deal, right? They can get out his as his salary cap number pops up. And then they went back and they brought Jordan Poirier back, Micah Hyde. They decided to give Poirier his money, but those guys are aging. Von Miller has been the quarterback Super Bowl whisperer, but he got injured last year. He's about to be 34 years old, and he's going to have to decide in a couple of years, does he want to continue playing? Because he's already got the money. He has two Super Bowls. What else does he have to play for?
That was Bart Scott earlier today on First Take arguing that the Bills' Super Bowl window is closed. I would like to point out that Bart Scott made the exact same point that I made earlier this week about Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, that the biggest problem with Buffalo is that they asked Josh Allen to do everything for them offensively. You can't be the number one passing and rushing option for a team. There has to be a little bit more balance. And if your quarterback isn't otherworldly, it's just very difficult for you to beat the better teams in the National Football League. Well, I also saw this stat. Now, this has got a little bit of baseball stat, but it's still a stat nonetheless. These are the most turnovers in a one-score game the past three seasons. Dak Prescott was number 4 with 28. Derek Carr is number 3 with 29. Justin Herbert has 30 turnovers in a one-score game over the course of his career. Josh Allen, number 1 with 36. Rob, you and I both know these games are going to be close late. They're going to be one-score games. You're going to be up 4, down 4, a tie ball game. You're going to need to put a drive together or stop a drive in order for you to win. Your quarterback cannot be a turnover machine. Can't be a turnover machine. Josh Allen has been a turnover machine for the most part in his career. You remember last year, the big thing with him was red zone turnovers. He led the NFL in red zone turnovers. That's the difference between you advancing to the Super Bowl and getting beat in the second round. Your quarterback has to be better at protecting the football. If Buffalo is going to eventually get over the hump, they do it because Josh Allen is much better at protecting the football.
I agree that Josh Allen has to play the football better, and I agree that they're too reliant on Josh Allen. I even agree at this point that, hey, you know, when you pay your quarterback a substantive contract, it is hard to put a lot of pieces around him, even if you funny money up Von Miller's deal. But I think calling the Bills window closed is premature. Do I think they're a favorite in the AFC? No. Do I think they're the second favorite in the AFC? No. But calling the window closed is, I think he's early to the party. Now, if Von Miller comes back and he looks like he's got nothing left, maybe I'll hear a conversation. But if the Bills window is closed, then that means that the Ravens and all sorts of teams' window across the AFC is absolutely closed. You can be down on the Bills, but calling their window closed is obscene. You think there's no way, no chance they make the Super Bowl in 2023? None?
Buffalo feels a lot like the Celtics. Feels a lot like the Celtics to me. The Celtics are good. They were, what, the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference? Do you think you can win a championship with that Boston team? Do you think you're going to have to make changes to win a championship?
I think you can win. I don't think they have the correct role players. And you know I hate Jason Tatum, but I think you can win a title with that team. They were in the finals last year. I mean, I think you can win a Super Bowl with the Bills roster. I just think winning championships is very difficult. I think they can win the Super Bowl. I'm not calling their window shut. Do I think they're the next 3 to 5 years the prohibitive challenger to the Chiefs? No, I think that's the Bengals. And the Bengals have laughed the Bills, but I think the Bills can still get to and win a Super Bowl. I don't think they're dead and gone.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, yeah, they just got bodied by the Bengals, but Allen is too good for the window to be closed. At least it's cracked. The 13 seconds game was insane. I mean, the 13 seconds game to me is kind of my point. Josh Allen threw for 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, and also ran for 68 yards. Like, you need the absolute best version of Josh Allen and still everything to possibly go right. Like, someone on the text line said, isn't that similar as the Chiefs? We asked Patrick Mahomes to do everything. Not really. Sure, in the passing game. I'm not denying that. That's your quarterback. Your quarterback's going to need to do that. Josh Allen ran for almost 500 more yards last year than Patrick Mahomes. So last year, Devin Singletary led the Bills in rushing with 819 yards. Josh Allen had 726. Like, he is a major part of your run game. And you're asking him to carry the load in the passing game. I think it's just like a basketball player. Like, your usage can only be so much. You need other guys to kind of carry the weight for you. Think about last year when the Chiefs' offense, I think, really started to take a turn. When they started to figure out the run game was a little bit of a problem the first 10 weeks of the season. When they figured out, hey, we know exactly what to do. We got Isaiah Pacheco. We got Jerick McKinnon. We're not doing anything else. It really started to open up the offense. You got to have a complement of weapons. I think Josh Allen is incredible. He is a star. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. If they don't figure out a way to run the football more effectively around him and get his usage down a little bit, or Devin Singletary needs to rush for 1,300 yards to be one of the better running backs in the National Football League, I really think Buffalo will continue to have the same problem, and they'll just continue to hit their head against a team. Like, think about it. I mean, you look at a guy like Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary ran for less yards than Isaiah Pacheco, and Pacheco didn't really start until, what, the last 6 weeks of the season? He was a better running back last year than Devin Singletary. There's not a lot of help right now around Josh Allen, which is the biggest reason why they continue to bump their head. Nick Bolton met with the media earlier today, and he said that the Chiefs' defense is underrated. Is that true? We'll talk about it. Keep right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Rob, really quick question. Juvenile, the rapper, he has signed up to do a Tiny Desk. A lot of people are very excited about this.
I hate to interrupt. Real quick. What is Juvenile, and what is the second thing you said?
Weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Kansas City, it's George Karloftis, and you're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Nick Bolton met with the media earlier today, and he said the defense got a chip on their shoulder.
I know if our defense was definitely going to be hungry. We don't really get the respect that we deserve over the years, the 3-4 years I've been here, and I've been watching from Mizzou. The Chiefs defense doesn't get the recognition that it deserves, myself included. As a hungry aspect of it, I can safely say that I'm hungry as ever. I feel like we kind of have to miss opportunities, whether it be interception sacks and just can't get hands on balls, contesting catches a little bit better. The first, I think, six games, we don't think as a defense we were as jailed in as we wanted to be, and the back half kind of picked up. So we kind of want to start there. Start at the beginning of the season, the first six games, like the last six, and just kind of see what that takes us throughout the season.
One thing that's always confused me about expectations when it comes to the Chiefs defense is, what are the expectations? Like, we set the expectations for a lot of things. Like, this year, I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to run 4,000 yards. We set the over-under on certain offensive players. Hey, what's Kelsey going to do? He's going to have these numbers, etc. What's the expectation for the defense? Because to me, it's not a ranking thing. Like, I don't really care about the ranking. Like, the Chiefs last year were not a top 10 defense. We weren't a top 12 defense last year. Like, the ranking does not matter to me for the Chiefs. This year they could be, but it doesn't matter to me. How many points do you allow per game? Because I would say in today's version of the NFL, it is almost impossible to get stops against good teams. Think about the good defenses that Kansas City went up against last year. They played San Francisco's defense. That was the best defense last year in points per game. I saw the Chiefs offense go up against their defense. Cook them, boys. They played Buffalo last year. They can move the ball against the Buffalo Bills. You scroll down the line. Now, Cincinnati actually defends Kansas City fairly decently. They played Philadelphia's defense. Scored 31 points against them in the Super Bowl. Jacksonville had a top 12 defense last year. Scored against Jacksonville. I don't think that you can consistently hold offenses the way that you've been able to in previous versions of the NFL. So what can you expect to do? All I ever need the Chiefs to do is hold teams under 27 points. If you consistently keep teams under 27 points, the Chiefs should have a chance to win every single game that they're in. Sure, sometimes you'll lose 27-21. That's the National Football League, right? Well, if that happens, then the offense probably turns it over a couple of times. Mahomes didn't do what he was supposed to do. In today's NFL, if you're holding the top offenses under 27 points, I think you got to feel really good about it. And sure, it depends on who you are. Like, there was no reason for the Broncos to score last season against Kansas City. The Broncos couldn't score against anybody last year. They were one of the worst offenses in the league. But I'm talking about when you measure the Chiefs up in the games that ultimately really matter, up against your Buffaloes, your Phillies. They play Detroit. They was a team that was top five last year. You got to try to consistently hold those teams under 27 points. Can you hold the Lions to 24 points? If the Chiefs hold the Lions to 24 points in the season opener, the Chiefs are winning that football game 34-24. That is the only thing I measure the Chiefs by.
I actually think Nick Bolton is correct. I think on the national level, the thought about the Chiefs is super dynamic, prolific offense, just outscores teams to win. And while that is correct, I think that's how every team wins in the NFL in 2023. I don't think you see the 0-2 Ravens. I don't think you see the 0-3 Bucks. I don't think you see the 85 Bears anymore. I think locally the Chiefs defense is properly rated. They are exactly what you're asking them to be. They hold teams under 27. They're a top 15 defense. They're a top half of the league defense. They don't have the star power of the offense, but they get enough stops a game where most every game in the Patrick Mahomes era, since Spagnuolo has taken over, you've thought to yourself, hey, the Chiefs defense has done enough to let Patrick Mahomes and co go win the game, which is the entire role of the defense. That is not how the defense is portrayed at the national level. So I think he's right. I don't think it gets the proper recognition, but I also don't think it's underrated either. I think it is what it is. It's like the 14th best defense in the NFL. But you don't need the number one defense. You don't need the number five defense to win on the Kansas City Chiefs. You just need them to be good enough to let Patrick Mahomes go win the game. And the Chiefs defense has done that basically since Spagnuolo showed up in Kansas City. Can we think of a game where Spag's defense just hemorrhaged points and the Chiefs never had a chance? Nope. They have always done enough to keep them in games, and that is their role. So I think Bolton is right by the national critics. Locally, though, I think we have a pretty good beat on what the Chiefs are.
I think that we have to start looking at football games a little bit differently and start looking at it like basketball games. When you watch a basketball game, you expect runs to happen. Like, basketball is a game of runs. You're going to go on a 10-2 run. The other team's going to call a timeout. All right, now you're going to answer. You're going to go on a 9-0 run. They're going to call timeout. Don't we see in football games that almost the exact same thing happens? Like, these miraculous comebacks seem to happen more frequently with the way the rules are, with the way that offenses are, with the way that the quarterbacks are in the AFC. You can come back easier than you've ever been able to do it before. To my point about the defense, take a look at the Super Bowl. The Eagles scored 24 points in the first half, right? Now, the Chiefs allow more than 27 points, but the Eagles are one of the best offenses in the league. Right after the time, or right after the halftime show, Chiefs get the ball first. Chiefs go down the field, 10 plays, 75 yards, 5 minutes and 30 seconds, touchdown. Philadelphia is now leading 24-21. The Chiefs, in my opinion, then get a stop and hold them to a field goal. All right, you've done what you're going to do. Philadelphia is going to score points. The Chiefs are going to score points. Cincy's going to score. Buffalo's going to point. Are they leaving with 3 or 6 whenever they get the ball? You held them to a field goal. It is still a one-possession game. Chiefs go down the field and score a touchdown on the next drive. Now the Chiefs are leading. That quickly, Rob, it turned. They were down 24-14 at half. All of a sudden, you hold them to one field goal and that now you got a lead. Then the next Eagles possession, you force a 3-and-out, 3 plays, 7 yards. The game flipped so quickly. I think we got to start looking at these football games a lot more like basketball games. You just got to think that runs are going to happen, especially with the Chiefs. The Chiefs have shown us over the last 4 years they're going to go on a 10-0 run in a game. They're going to go on a 17-3 run. You just have to account for that's going to happen. So if the Chiefs get down 10-0 early in the game, like is going to happen at some point this season, we know what's going to happen. Other teams going to go down the field, score a quick touchdown. Chiefs offense is going to go 3-and-out. Chiefs defense gives up a field goal. It's now 10-0, and 9 minutes have passed in the game, and everybody's freaking out. Hold on. The Chiefs are going to go on a run at some point. The Chiefs aren't not scoring in this game. They're not getting shut out in this game. I think that's how we got to start viewing it.
I love that analogy because – if you look at last year's AFC Championship game, it mirrored a game at Allen Fieldhouse for Kansas basketball. Early going, you're kind of, you know, jabbing, figuring each other out. The opposing team made a run. There was tense moments in the stadium. Then you made your run, and you made a big shot late. The opposing team had a shot at a game-winning, you know, drive. They had a shot to go out and win the football game. They had a shot to beat you. They couldn't do it. You made the biggest plays in the biggest game. You go forward. That is what Chiefs defense has to do and has done. Just keep your offense in the game. Make the plays we're asking you to make. No one's asking the Chiefs to hold teams under 27 points. Under 21 points. No one's asking them to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can do that consistently in the NFL anymore. Not against decent teams.
I think you can, but I think you have to be just so... You have to be the inverse of like the 0-3 Chiefs. All your talent has to be on the defense side of the ball to the point where you have no offensive talent, so it's kind of moot. Like, what were you have the stats for you? What were last year's Jets giving up game in, game out?
18.6.
So, yeah, the Jets are the best defense available. I think you still can do it, but you had no quarterback. You had no weapons. All your talent's on the defense side of the ball. You're not winning games that way. You're just holding teams.
But I'd love to see kind of the splits because we do this same thing with Buffalo every year, right? Like, Buffalo, remember 2 years ago, Buffalo had the number one scoring defense in the league. And then follow it up the next year. Last year, Buffalo had the number two defense in the league. Has Buffalo really shown you that they can stop Kansas City? I'm talking about the best offense in the league, the best defense in the league. Like, it used to be a legitimate back and forth between the two, right? Like, we're not that old where we don't remember a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl, the best defense in Seattle played the best offense in the NFL in the Denver Broncos, and the best defense stood a legitimate chance in that fight. We've seen that time and time again. I think the rules have made it where it's not really that much of a fair fight. Kansas City went up against these teams last year. Kansas City played San Francisco last year. They played Buffalo last year. They can score on these teams. I don't know if you can stop good teams. Sure. Can the Jets hold Cleveland to 3 points in a game? Sure. Could the Jets do that to Philadelphia in a game? I don't think so anymore.
Yeah, it's like a chicken and the egg deal because I'm thinking back to the good defenses in recent football in the NFL, and it's all teams that just can't score. So they're coming off a losing season. They're playing a down schedule and they're locking teams down. Like the Vic Fangio Broncos were a good defense. Yeah, the Chiefs got them every time, but it wasn't like the Chiefs were lighting up the scoreboard against Vic Fangio's teams. But also, what did Vic Fangio's teams have? No offensive talent. They had no quarterback. All their assets were in their defense. Think about those Bears teams that had Sexy Rexy Rex Grossman. They had no offensive talent. They had no weaponry. But you know what? They had a loaded defense side of the ball. They could get stops consistently. I mean, last year's Patriots team was an incredible defense. They were what? According to advanced analytics, the best defense in the NFL. You know what they had? All their resources on defense, no weapons. So I think it's chicken or the egg. Is it these great defenses are stopping losing teams? These teams are just great defenses because they're stopping losing teams? Or are they great defenses that only play losing teams because they have no offense and that keeps them down? I think it's chicken or the egg moment a little bit there.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com. And the Odyssey app. Yesterday, Donovan Smith met with the media, and he said this about how he's feeling, his injuries from last season, and says that he has a new lease on life.
Oh, it was a little frustrating. I mean, obviously, you know, I played with a lot more injuries than I probably should have, but, you know, it's just something that we do. You know, we go out there, we sacrifice our bodies to go out there for the greater good of the team. Unfortunately, we didn't, you know, finish the way that we wanted, but, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, new beginning, new journey. I'm healthy, I'm fresh, and I'm feeling real good.
Rob, do you see Donovan Smith as a question mark? I ask that question because I kind of look at their team. And I think the Chiefs are boring in this regard. Over the next 3 months, we're going to talk about position battles. And is this guy, for the most part, though, the Chiefs are pretty set, right? Chiefs are set at quarterback. The Chiefs are set at running back. I would say when it comes to wide receiver, it's mostly just the seeing is believing, right? I don't know what Sky Moore is going to look like when you give him more usage. He didn't get thrown the ball a whole lot last year. He got thrown the ball 33 times. You're not going to put up big numbers if that's the case. The big question with Kadarius Toney is can he stay healthy? Nobody is denying the talent or ability of Kadarius Toney, but the only way to find out if you're going to stay healthy is when you start playing the games or so. You look at the defense. I think the linebacker group is pretty set in stone. The cornerback group, like the Chiefs are a known entity at this point. It's just, can you maintain it? We're not talking about growth at this point. It's can you maintain it? We're not talking about you taking a next step. We're not talking about the Chiefs like they're Buffalo, Cincinnati, or Philadelphia. What can we do to win the Super Bowl? The conversation is how do you keep winning Super Bowls? I don't think the Chiefs have a lot of question marks or uncertainty heading into the offseason, heading into training camp. I think left tackle is one of the few places that you can say, I don't know what's going to happen. I got a pretty good understanding of what's going to happen with the running back room. Really good understanding of what's going to happen with the tight end. There aren't that many places that can kind of catch me by surprise. I either think it's either the wide receiver room and Kadarius Toney or Sky Moore are far better than we anticipate, or Donovan Smith kind of finds that fountain of youth and we think, man, the Chiefs got a top 10 left tackle in the National Football League on a one-year, I don't want to say prove-it deal, but a can you stay healthy, can you bounce back to your form? I look at Donovan Smith as one of the few question marks that they actually have.
I think there's a third. Can the edge rushers take a step forward? Because Mike Dana's been a consistent, and maybe that's a boring answer, but like they're pretty young and inexperienced at edge rusher. They have Charles Omenihu who can flip inside and outside. He's solid. But, like, can Mike Dana take a step forward in a contract year? Is Felix Anudike Uzama going to take a step and be a consistent contributor in the NFL? Can George Karloftis build off his elite second half and be a good pass rusher? Or is it just, hey, he's an 8-sack-a-season type of guy? I think the only three places in this team we have question marks are Kadarius Toney because of health, Donovan Smith, can he regain his form because of health, and can the edge rushers be consistent because of youth? The Chiefs are in a great spot. It is health and youth. Those are the only questions. But I think those are the three things that we're going to talk about ad nauseum into and through training camp, because the only places there's any level of what if with the Chiefs, Toney, Smith, and edge rusher.
I think that entire conversation is really predicated on can they get Charles Omenihu to the next level. Like, I think it's right there for him. Charles Omenihu is 25 years old. He will turn 26 in August. Last year was a career year. He played in 17 games. He had the highest number of sacks that he had, the most tackles that he's ever had before, the most tackle for losses that he's ever had, and most quarterback hits. Last year was a career year, and he is entering age 26. Like, this is a prime. Can he take that next step? I think you know what you're going to get from Chris Jones. He's one of the best defensive linemen in the National Football League. Given what we saw the second half of the season, I feel really good about Karloftis coming into the year. He figured something out the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season where he was an absolute force out there. Can he continue what he did the second half of the season? I think you expect Felix to kind of be a little bit of a slow starter, the same way that George Karloftis was. I don't think you can really count on a lot of contribution from him in the first 6 to 8 games of the season. Can they get Charles Omenihu to take that next step? If he does, and you're not asking him to take a tremendous step, he had 4.5 sacks last year. Can he get to 7.5 and 8? Can he have one of those kind of career years? Can he continue to give you 20 quarterback hits the way that he did last year? I think he's the answer to the pass rush question. That will give you 3 legitimate, and whatever you get from Felix is great in his rookie year, and you already know Spags is going to dial up a couple of blitzes, that they'll get 5 to 8 sacks that they run into just by other things happening.
I agree, and there's still time. I mean, last year they didn't have Carlos Dunlap on the roster at this point in time, so maybe they can answer the question a little bit with just throwing bodies at it. I mean, Frank Clark's still a free agent. We know how this franchise feels about Frank Clark, and you know how Frank Clark feels about Andy Reid. So maybe one of those questions is answered before camp. But you're right. The three major questions of this team are left tackle Donovan Smith, can he regain the form? Wide receiver Kadarius Toney, can he stay healthy? And pass rush, can the youth and experience take the step forward? Because you're right. Omenihu is 26. He would still count in the youth category. Can he take that step forward? Those are the three massive questions with the Chiefs going into 2023.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. There is a news story that you guys will absolutely have to hear. I'll tell it to you. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.